brothers. Actually, Clemens should continue, but he said, yeah, I should continue, at least according to the outline, yeah, that we have fellowship about that. The title of this of this outline is God's unchanging purpose. God has a purpose, a plan. Like every one of us has a plan, right? You cannot, as a man, just live. You cannot just live as a man without a plan and a goal, right? That's impossible. I didn't meet somebody like that. We all have a plan, right? Philip, do you have a plan? Of course, yeah, you're not aimless, right? And do you think our God doesn't have a goal? God also has a goal, and it is much higher than our earthly, our human goals, yeah? Because he's God. He's much higher than we are. Isaiah says, his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? Of course, that's normal. And if we don't know God's plan, then we just do whatever we like for him, just anything for him. But that's not what God wants, right? Of course, to preach the gospel is good. It's a part, but it's just the beginning of the plan of God for the salvation of man. But then what about after salvation? Is it good enough to be saved? No. God has a wonderful plan, much higher than our thoughts. Much, much higher. And therefore, it is so important that we realize what is God's plan. If we don't realize God's plan, we just do something for people, right? And that's why there's so much confusion among the believers. Everyone does what he likes. God said to his people, after they wanted to enter into the good land, from this day on, you shall not do what is right in your eyes. They should not do that. Because otherwise, God cannot fulfill his plan, right? And that's why it is good to see so clearly in this time now what is actually God's plan. We say, okay, to build a church, right? But how does it look like? And what is the church? Just a church that we have a good time on Sunday? To hear a message, sing some songs, have some prayers, and everyone goes back home. For you it's good maybe, huh? Yeah? But what about God? Is it good enough for God? No. What, yeah. Maybe we never asked, yeah. What does God want? And no one asks that, but everyone does what he likes. And if I'm satisfied, right, then I'm okay, then I go home. I fulfilled my duty one time in the week on Sunday, and that's good enough. Is it good enough for God? For sure not. Remember, in Matthew 7, the Lord said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heavens. But those who do the will of God, right? If it's not his will, if we don't do that, then no matter what we do, we will not enter in. For sure not. Then the Lord said, continued, and explained, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Do you think preaching is bad? No. But It is not what the Lord wants. Because everyone preaches according to his own burden, right? There's so many preachers, pastors, and everyone just preaches what he thinks is right. And they say, Lord, and we do so many good things, good deeds. Yeah, good works. The Lord said to the seven churches, I know your works. That means for the Lord, it is not the goal, not what satisfies him, right? Of course, there are good works, and there are also bad works. But good or not, or good or bad, it's not what God wants. Oh, Lord, didn't we cast out the demons in your name? Then the Lord said, I don't know you. Oh, Lord, that would be terrible. Because whatever we do, we think it's good, but it's not according to the plan of God. As I said, Philip, yeah, if you do many good things for your company, but it is not what they want, then even if it's so good what you did, you will lose your job because they didn't ask you to do that, right? You will lose your job. When you cannot say, ah, but. No, there's no but. For the Lord, there is no but. And therefore, we need to ask the Lord, what is your will? Your will, may your will come on, be done on earth. But what is it? I also prayed to the Lord. Lord, if you don't show me what is your will, how can I know? Shall I make up something? If the Lord doesn't show us because we didn't ask him, and the Lord doesn't force anybody, right? From Genesis to Revelation, the Lord never forced somebody, right? Because he gave us a free will. Even Adam and Eve, he told them, yeah, you can eat from this tree, yeah, but you should not eat from the other tree. But he didn't force them, yeah. They have to choose. And we need to choose today, right? But what do you want to choose if you don't know what you need to choose, right? What is the will of God? And Hebrews shows us so clearly that the Lord came to, and it says there, behold, I'm coming to do your will, O God. So on this earth, the Lord never did something which was not according to the will of God. Didn't he say, yeah, your time is always there, but my time is not always there, right? Because the Lord only does what the Father tells him to do. And not only what he tells him, but what the Father has done in him. So he says, the word that I speak to you is not what I speak, but what the Father speaks in me. And even the Son cannot do anything by himself, right? And can you imagine such a person, such a man on this earth? And this is so important. And therefore, the first point in this outline is called God's plan and calling is irrevocable. How many times did you change your mind, Thomas? Many times, huh? Yeah. You don't even know how many times, right? Because it's too many times. We think, oh, I do this and I do that, and then I change my mind, right? You just graduated from university. How many times did you change jobs, Sarah? Huh? 3 or 4 times. Oh, 2 times, and now it's the third job, huh? That's how many times you changed your job from this company to that and that. And then in the beginning you think, yeah, it's good. But then, oh, it's not that good. And then you change your job, right? And then same thing at your second workplace. And now it's the third. Now you think it's good, but wait, okay, wait for it. Yeah. We're changing all the time, right? But God doesn't change. He's not a man who lies, and he's not a man who always changes his mind. Can you imagine that? The Lord saved you, then you made a mistake, and then the Lord changes his mind. Okay, Christian, now you're not saved anymore, huh? You're unsaved. He changed his mind. Imagine that. If God changes his mind with us. Oh, Lord. Then I'm really lost. Then I'm lost. But God, but thanks to the Lord, he doesn't change his plan. Even since the foundation of the world, he knew us and called us. He will not change his mind. But it is not only about salvation, it is about more. In the scripture, the Lord has a wonderful plan, for himself, not only for us, but for himself. He wants to have something. And you can read it yourself, and these verses, where we see God does not change his mind. Because otherwise, we would have big trouble. Yeah, he chose Christian since the foundation of the world, and then afterwards he said, oh no, that was wrong. That was a wrong decision. I don't want him anymore. What do you think? If God's like that, like we are, who always change our mind, that's why the Lord said he's not like a man who changes his plan and his mind. Do you think God does a mistake? So therefore, Hebrews says, the salvation is an eternal salvation. Isn't it wonderful? And many people think or believe you can lose your salvation, but then it would not be eternal, right? It's like a yo-yo salvation. Like, up and down, yeah? You're saved, you're lost. And not saved. And how many times you need to be born again? Do you have a daughter? Yeah, you have a wonderful daughter. She's born. Can you change that again? No, she's born. No, you cannot change that. And we are sons of God, born from the Spirit. You cannot change that anymore. And God has a way to perfect us, right? Maybe, although it would be through punishment, but he will make it with us. God has a way. But you need to choose which way you want to go. You want to go the way of reward into the millennial kingdom to rule with him, to inherit the kingdom? Or you want to go through a limited time of punishment? It is better that God chastening us today. That we would partake in his holiness and we would bear fruit. Yeah, that's the normal way. If I'm not prepared, then when the Lord comes back, I will be cast out into the outer darkness. Yeah, not forever, but for some time, yeah. Yeah, like in school, yeah. If you don't make it to the next grade, right? Yeah, then you have to repeat. So the virgins, yeah, they also have to buy oil and they're not qualified to enter into the wedding, right? So where do they go? And therefore, we have to choose. God, he is God and his mind will never change. If you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. Yeah, because it's a gift, right? Did you ever receive a gift? Today I give Philip a gift. Next week, I don't like him anymore. I tell him, give it back to me. So that's something like that doesn't happen. Okay, yeah. So no one does that. So that is an eternal salvation. It is eternal. Praise the Lord. Saved, born again. If you're born again, God cannot change that. It's impossible. So you have, but then you have to grow. So the child is born, but now it has to grow and it has to mature. And that takes time, right? So to be saved is within a second, right? But to grow, it takes 90 years. Yeah, until you fully mature. And this is the way of God. But then, what is his plan with us? Do you think everyone can do whatever he wants? I can choose how I want to serve God? Then God says, yeah, then okay, go ahead. No, God has a plan with us. And we have to seek, we have to search in his word, what is his plan? So in Romans 2, in the beginning, God created man according to his image, right? What does it mean? Many of us maybe never they thought about that, right? That we are created in a wonderful way. If I see even my fingers. Yeah, if my thumb is missing, I have a big trouble, right? So it is so wonderfully made, created. No animal on this earth is wonderfully made like man, so smart. You can build so many things. You can build a Mercedes. I never thought that a monkey can build a Mercedes, right? Or a restaurant. Did you see that? No, no one, no other creation can do is like man, right? But man is made in the image of God. In his image, yeah. But unfortunately, through the deception of Satan, sin entered into man, right? Like Romans 5 showed us. Sin entered into man. And through sin, death entered in, right? Death is really terrible. But I want to share now about this image of God. Yeah, and because we fell, Romans said that all men have sinned. Romans chapter 3, huh? All men have sinned and fall short of good works. Fall short of love. Yeah, of course, but that's not what Romans 3 says, right? Verse 23. Romans 3:23. What says the Science translation? Can you read it, please? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, of the glory of God. And how does this image look like? Colossians 1:16 says, Christ is the image of God. And if you want to know what glory means and how does it look like to be built in the image of God, you have to look at Christ. Yeah. He didn't only come for our salvation. And even John 1 says, no one ever has seen God, but the only begotten Son, He revealed Him to us, full of grace and truth. And if we see Him, if we see the Son, we see the Father, right? Because He expresses the glory of the Father. And His whole life was there to glorify the Father. So, if men see us, what do they see? What do they see when they see us? Yeah. Yeah, we need to express the glory of God. That's what we owe God, yeah. Because He made us in His image, right? So wonderful, and that's why we should express His glory, right? That's why Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15, what is the church? Yeah. It is the pillar and crown of the truth, right? And we say we are the church, but what did we express? Yeah, the flesh. The self is expressed in our flesh. Our opinion is expressed in our flesh. Our own works are expressed in our flesh, right? But not that God is expressed through the flesh. It is not about the teaching. It is about the glory. If you come to Zion, what do the people want to see here? A good message? Do people see when they come to us? Oh, they heard a gospel, yeah? But to hear it is one thing, but they want to see something. They want to see something. And what do they want to see? What do we have to show here? That God is expressed through the flesh, justified in the Spirit. And seen by the angels. Wow. Don't you think no one sees you? Oh, okay, then now let's do that. But no, the angels are looking at you. And then preached to men. We are not just giving a message or preaching the gospel. But it has to be visible. It has to be through the Spirit. It has to be living. God has to be revealed, then it's easy or easier to share the Lord with men, right? Because they see something. Philip told Jesus, show us the Father and it's enough for us, right? And the Lord said, I was so long I was with you and you don't know me. Yeah, who's saw me, sees me, sees the Father, right? That's what the Lord answered him. And I and the Father are one. So we speak about oneness, but we are not one with Him. If I tell a Christian, you have to be one with me. And if you're not one with me, then there is no oneness. But what kind of expression of oneness is that in the church? We talk about, we speak about oneness, but what kind of oneness? Even the mafia is one. CDU, a Christian party in Germany, is also one. There are many kind of oneness. But what is the true oneness in John 17 when the Lord prayed? That we should be one like you, Father, and I are one. And that they would enter into this oneness. That's the prayer of the Lord. That's a special kind of oneness, not made by man, right? Yeah, man can also do create an earthly oneness, right? But if you're not one with me, I'll show you the door. Yeah. So, yeah, if you only have a different opinion in the scripture, then I'll show you the door. Yeah. And never see you again. Yeah, never see you again. Yeah, you cannot even come close again. Yeah, because you're not one with me, with my opinion. Yeah, that is made by man. But the oneness of that the Lord wants to have is His oneness with the Father. So if you and I, if we're not one, if we are not one with the Father, and we want to keep the oneness, how long can you keep that? This kind of being one? A month, 1 year, 10 years, 30 years? Such a oneness, it cannot be forever. Impossible. But this is a special, wonderful oneness. Sorry, I spoke too long now. But therefore, because we fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, and this glory of God is the expression of this oneness, actually. So praise the Lord. God created us in His image. In His image. Yeah. How capable are men? I tell you, so capable. Look in here in Stuttgart. So many wonderful buildings. Can any kind of animal build something like that? No, only men. But men also build ugly things, yeah. And their purpose is the expression of the devil, yeah? Therefore, the enemy wants to, because he hates man, right? Yeah, the angels, if they see man, they think about God, right? Because we are made in His image. But whenever sin entered in, then what do we express, right? And therefore, you understand, right? So, God said, they shall rule. And how should they rule? Of all things that God has created, yeah, even after God has judged all things by the flood, and only Noah and his family, and were saved, right? And but then what did God tell him? God said, I made all these animals so that they would fear you. Yeah, God never changed his mind. Can you imagine that? We are supposed to rule over all animals on the earth, right? That's amazing. That is really amazing. We shall rule, and especially against Satan. Yeah, this serpent. We have to destroy the enemy. It is really true. And what we need to see today, and what we have to think about when we go home, like Colossians 1, Christ is the image of God. And the new man that came forth through death and resurrection, this new man is the image of God, right? It is the same thing. So therefore, we have to be filled with Christ. We have to experience Christ. We need to gain him. The church is not only the church, the body of Christ, right? That's what we say. But Paul doesn't stop there. He said it's the fullness of him who fills all things. So, if the church is not filled with Christ, so what do we express, right? What is the expression of the church? It is not that easy. Yeah, one place, one church. One city, one church. Yeah, it's not that easy. I wish it was that easy. But it's not like that. We built the heavenly city. And right after God brought his people out of Egypt, he told them, if you keep my word, then you shall be, and for me, you'll be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a people, a special treasure of the Lord. The church belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you, right? The Lord says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. But if it's my church or your church, then the devil will be happy, right? Because the devil will say, no, it is my church. Didn't the Lord say synagogue of the Jews? No. Eventually, there were so many problems. That's what I also experienced in the past years in the church, yeah, during my service, without any end, yeah. So therefore, we are created in his image, and this wonderful purpose. God wants to have a kingdom, but not just a kingdom of priests. Not just a kingdom, but a kingdom of priests, yeah. And that's why we are so important. But the whole people fell, right? And they carried their idols, which they brought from Egypt. They hided it. And eventually, they have this golden calf. And they say, oh, this is our God, right? And that was terrible. Only shortly after they came out, they had devilish thoughts and plans, right? So quickly they changed. And to make the long story short, the Lord told Moses, go back quickly, yeah. Your people is doing nonsense, yeah. And what did Moses do? He made a line there, right? And he said, whoever is on God's side shall come to me. And only the tribes of Levi, sorry, the Levi, the tribe of Levi, they came to Moses. Yeah. So from 12 tribes, only the tribe of Levi would be on the side of God, right? So, and what is the reward? The priests, the priesthood. God wants to have a kingdom of priests from the whole people, right? But now it is reduced from 12 tribes. Only one tribe is chosen. And the history tells us even the tribe of Levi fell, right? And eventually, only the family of Zadok. Is Zadok here? He's not here this time, huh? He has such a good name, Zadok. If you read Ezekiel 44, in the coming kingdom, only the sons of Zadok are qualified to serve the Lord, to come forward to the Lord. This is a privilege. Yeah? And God told Moses and Aaron, I gave you the priesthood as a gift. It is a gift. But people don't want that. Okay, they think only in the Catholic Church there are priests, right? But those are fake priests. No. We shall be his priests. All of us. Oh, that's Old Testament, huh? No, who says that? Then let's go to 1 Peter 2, where Peter told us so clearly and repeated what was written in Exodus chapter 19. Yeah, can you read it for us, please? 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Amen. Oh man, what does it show us? What does this chapter show us? First of all, we are living stones, no, not death, dead stones. Yeah, God does not build a dead church, right? Like Sardis, we are all living stones. Yeah, we're not a, f and also we're not a physical building, not a nice building, right? I'll give you the building, the meeting hall. No, we build a spiritual house. and this holy and holy priesthood. That's what we are building. To give a message on Sunday, no? No. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. And many said, oh, that's from the Old Testament, right? Oh, of course, we don't bring a bull here, or a goat, or a sheep. No, then we have a lot to do here. No, it's a spiritual offering. Because Christ is the reality of all these offerings. He's our burnt offering, our meal offering, peace offering, heave offering, sin offering, trespass offering, drink offering, yeah. Oh, you only know Christ is my Savior. No. The Lord is our burnt offering. What does it mean? That means the Lord, with his whole life, is there for the will of God. What about us? For the will of God. Okay, I serve God some hours a week, but at your workplace, how long are you there? 40 hours, right? So I don't mean you should give up your job, but you know, at your workplace, you can gain Christ. You do it for the glory of God. And there, you can express God. Can you imagine that? Therefore, Colossians said, whatever you do, whatever you do, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, for the glory of our God, of our Father. Yeah, isn't it wonderful? Yeah, even in your family. If you're the husband or the wife, we should live and express the glory of God. If we argue every day, no, that's for sure not the expression of his glory. So therefore, praise the Lord. We are priests. We are priests. And the church is a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Oh, that's from the Old Testament, right? No, it's not. And I want to tell you, whatever is written in the New Testament is the fulfillment of everything that is in the so-called, that is written in the so-called Old Testament. There's nothing new. But in the Old Covenant, it is a shadow, right? Showing you Christ. Pointing at Christ. And Christ is the substance and reality of everything that is written there, right? So the most important, what God wants to have is a kingdom of priests, right? And Zion. God builds a kingdom of priests. So the church, in Matthew 16, when the Lord said, I will build my church, it is not just according to our imagination. No, he wants to have Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And the Lord is the chief cornerstone. And this Zion is a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We need to read the whole thing. It's not something different. So that's therefore in this chapter it says, Christ is the chief cornerstone. Like Ephesians says, yeah, the Lord is the foundation and the chief cornerstone. So, men today, they build so many things. But what is the church? It is a holy priesthood, a kingdom of priests. It cannot be anything else. We don't have time. In to go into all details, but the Lord will show you. I think these verses, they are so clear. And in the Old Testament, they have Aaron as the high priest, right? Do you know the Lord as your high priest? You only know him as your savior, right? As your life, okay? If you go on, the Lord is my life, yeah? But for what is it there for? And what does the Lord do there in heavens? Does he listen to the music of the angels? To the songs of the angels? Yeah, do you think the Lord likes that? No. On the one hand, he's the high priest for us and intercedes all the time and wants to save us to the uttermost. But what does it mean? What does it mean he wants to save us to the uttermost in Hebrews 7? How does it look like? Are you saved? Yes. And to the uttermost? No one thinks about that. Yeah, okay, only saved, but so many troubles, right? In the scriptures, so much, there's a word saying transformation from glory to glory, to be transformed into his image. What we are made for, right? In 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. That's what it says there, right? And that's the salvation. That's the ongoing salvation until to the uttermost. And we think, okay, he only sits there as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, right? But Revelation 1 says he's the high priest that even walks in the midst of the lampstands, right? Do you think he's just up there? Do you think he's not here walking in as the high priest? That's why the church is a golden lampstand, right? And where is it located in the Old Covenant days? Out there in the outer court? No. The lampstand is in the holy place. And can everybody just enter in there? No, only the high priest, right? We have such a high priest. And Hebrews chapter 8 says this is the main thing what we talk about, right? We have such a great high priest. Yeah, amen. He is in the heavenly tabernacle, yeah? Made by man, sand, no. No, not made by man. Is it not clear enough for us? Marita, yeah? Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. If the Lord opens our eyes, right, and we read these words, it is so clear until Revelation chapter 1, right? That's why the church is a golden lampstand. And the Lord is the high priest that serves this lampstand, and he wants to add the oil every day, right? Okay, I think time is up, huh? And this goal of the purpose of God will never change. God will not stop until he reaches this goal with us. Maybe not with all the others, but with a remnant. Yeah, God needs the faithful ones, right? Not the high numbers. He needs the faithful ones. Amen. And in the Old Covenant days, and he said that, and Paul also spoke about it in Romans, although The people of Israel is like it is so big, right? But only a remnant will be saved. Not that we are so special, right? But it is because of His grace. I don't know why the Lord showed us, but He showed us. And now what should we do? Yeah, we should be obedient. That's what we are here. We are not, that's why we are here. We are not so special. No. No way, we are not special. But we want to do what the Lord wants. We have no choice. Oh, do you have a choice? We have no choice. We're not against the others, no. Didn't we say that many times? But if the others, if they don't want, it's their choice. We don't force anybody, right, to bring the offerings to the Father. Also among us, yeah, we don't force each other, right? No, we cannot do that. May the Lord be merciful on us. Have grace on us, yeah, with us. The point here is that God will not change His plan. Yeah. If no one wants it, even it's only a tribe and eventually it's only one family of Zadok, still, God needs the priests. Okay? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.